Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thing that I take away from Matt Ryan's presser today. You're going, Dukes and Bell, wait a minute. Matt Ryan, he doesn't play here anymore. You're right. He signed a one-day contract to retire as a Falcon. But here's what I take away, Mike, and we're going to talk about this coming up in our Falcon Report, more on the NFL draft in less than 15 minutes. You do not want to miss our conversation about Trae Young. Stay here. Mike, he's such a classy dude. I'm talking about Matt Ryan. Like, in the questions and the answers that I just heard today, and I don't know if I felt like it would be any different. I think we took for granted, and I say we as members of the media and guys that cover Matt Ryan, he always said the right thing, never took a dump on anybody. Whether it was the right thing to do when he could have, Mike, gone in on people, he never did. And today, I just thought he answered all of these questions. And by the way, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because he was asked about coaching. He said, I'm not interested. He said, I know the commitment it takes to become a coach and do those things and the guys, the hours these guys put in. Because people are out there saying, all right, well, he'll be a quarterback's coach and then he'll maybe be a head coach in the NFL. He said he's not interested, Mike.
No, he's got a great gig in TV, and if he handles it and plays his cards right, he's going to be climbing that that CBS ladder pretty quick because, you know, he's good in studio, he's good in game. You know, and he's a likable guy. You know, and Steve Weiss, our good buddy, says, and I quoted Steve from Twitter earlier, says, when Matt Ryan officially retiring as a Falcon today, Steve says, I can't understate what he did for the franchise and the city from the time of his arrival when the Falcons were in a very dark place until today. Steve says, salute to Matt and his family. And I agree. I said to Carl in the 2 o'clock hour, you know, when Mike goes to jail and this city's just upside down over, you know, what's going on with his franchise, Matt comes into this environment. And to this day, this guy will only accept a certain kind of quarterback in the city, which is a shame because Carl, Matt was nothing but class. He handled it with class and dignity. Consistent winning. Remember, going all the way back to Bartkowski and before that, this team had never had back-to-back winning seasons. So he establishes consistent winning culture. He earns an MVP. Yes, we all know how the Super Bowl ended, but as Carl pointed out earlier, you can't put that on Matt. And then and just at the end of the day, in 2020, when we're dealing with everything around the country and here in the city, guy gives up $500,000 to help in the inner city. It's pretty classy, you know? And the guy still can't catch a break from some of the fans out there, which is just so uncool.
Yeah, great to hear him speak today, and we'll play some of it for you coming up. Right now, though, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley, 10 or 11 dogs are going in this draft. How many?
I actually think it's going to be less. I think it's only going to be 8, maybe 9 if, say, Kendall Milton gets picked in the back end. You know, it is funny, though, to say 8 or 9 and sort of make that feel like a disappointment. And that just speaks to where Georgia has been over the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, man, we talked about Brock Bowers and some of the silliness that came out of the combine because he's just a low-key guy. And I know you get to see him around that lot. I mean, what do you think Brock Bowers is going to be? Now, obviously, go to the right team, that certainly it helps. But it just seems like his talent, and despite a few guys that are naysayers, it just seems like that game translates to the next level.
The only way, in my opinion, that Brock Bowers doesn't work out at the next level is if the team with the 10th pick in the draft selects him, which is the New York Jets, because the New York Jets are a cursed franchise and will find some way to not take advantage of Brock Bowers' obvious talents. This is as good of a player as I have covered in my time at Georgia. And if you have questions about what's he like off the field, what is he bringing to that? He had an ankle injury in the middle of this season, and he was obviously clearly a first-round draft pick. He had already won two national championships where he was the best offensive player, in my opinion, on both of those teams. He had already done everything that he needed to in the college game to certify himself as a first-round draft pick. Instead of shutting it down for the season, he elected in 26 days to push, fight through injury, and come back and continue playing for this team. This is as rock solid as a prospect as it can be. Obviously, as you point out, Mike, team goes into a lot of this, as I think we've seen with Kyle Pitts. Tight end can be a tricky position to work in. But if he goes to a team with competent quarterback play and a somewhat creative offensive mind, he's going to, in my opinion, be a very successful player. And I even think some of the knocks that people have had against him, oh, he's not a great blocker. I think he does everything else so well that because he's not the greatest blocker in the world, that seems like a negative there. He is a plenty good blocker. You've seen him maul guys in the run game before. And while, yes, they are bigger at the NFL level, I expect Brock Bowers, unless he has the misfortune of being taken by the New York Jets, to be a very good pro for a long time.
Let me just throw something at you, Connor. It's Connor Riley, guys, Dog Nation, as we talk about the upcoming draft. We know the SEC is going to put plenty of guys in the league, where they do year in and year out. Talking about the Dogs right now, let me just project something to you, and call me crazy. Tell me what you think about this. The Chiefs in the first round, I think now, will be thinking, hey, I know what they've done in free agency. Let's take a flyer on this Ladd McConkey guy. Mike, to take him late in the first, Rashee Rice is going through some legal issues. That's not going away anytime soon.
Right.
And I think, tell me if I'm wrong, that Ladd may have worked himself into an early second-round pick, maybe late first. Am I crazy to believe that?
I absolutely agree with you there, Carl. I think you look at some of the teams at the back of the first round, the Buffalo Bills at pick 28, the San Francisco 49ers at pick 31, depending on what they obviously do with Brandon Ayuk, and then the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32. I think Ladd McConkey fits with all of those teams. Obviously injuries are part of his factor, and I'm going to be fascinated to see if at all that has an impact on his draft status. But this guy is as good of a route runner there is. He is a way better athlete than he gets credit for. You will see, you know, people out there say, oh, he's sneaky quick. No, he is legitimately fast. He ran a 4.39 at this year's 40, the best, I believe, three-cone time of anyone in this year's draft class. And off the field as well, this guy won the Werfel Trophy, which is given for work done in the community. This is a rock-solid prospect. I think the big concern there, obviously, being his injuries. He had a knee injury, a back injury, an ankle injury during his last two seasons there. But other than maybe size, again, he's only around 6 foot. He is not the biggest wide receiver in the world. But look at what he did at Georgia, the ways in which he contributed to them winning, and the teams picking at the back half of the first round that are close to Super Bowls. They also have a need at wide receiver. I think Ladd McConkey could very well be the first-round wide receiver that Kirby Smart has had taken in his time at Georgia, which is really stunning given Ladd McConkey had two Power 5 offers coming out of high school, Vanderbilt and Georgia.
So our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, as we're just a few days away now from the draft. Where do you think Amarius Mims is going to go?
I think maybe somewhere in the 20s, maybe sneaks in the late teens. But I think you look at there are a lot of teams there in that 21 to 25 range. The Miami Dolphins, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Green Bay Packers, they all have sort of needs at that tackle position, and they're in spots where they may not ask him to come in and play right away, but at the same point in time, they're taking a big swing because while Amarius Mims only has 8 career starts, and that's so much of the narrative surrounding him, I don't believe from a just raw athletic standpoint there is a better tackle in this class. When he was able to play at the University of Georgia, was an impact player. I think if you consider what he did in the 2022 game against Ohio State, where that's his first career start in a college football playoff game, like going against guys that are going to be playing in the NFL, and he was a stud in that game. It shows just how high his ceiling is. Now, the deep class, there are certainly more safe bets at that offensive tackle position, but I think he's a guy, maybe starting with the Bengals at pick 18, to the Packers at pick 25 is where we're going to hear Amarius Mintz name called on Thursday.
Cedric Van Pran, it's Granger now, right? Pran Granger, is that
correct?
Right?
Correct.
So why am I seeing these projections for a guy that started all these games for the Dogs potentially in the fourth or fifth round? Like, I projected he would be better or at least, you know, would be higher. What do you think?
I think part of it with him is you compare him. It is a rather deep center class in terms of the guys out there. And he's just not the physically biggest guy. You know, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, Graham Barton out of Duke, Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. They're all a little bit bigger than Cedric. And it's not like Cedric has, in my opinion, a lot more weight to put on. He's pretty close to maxed out physically. But to your point, Carl, look, Cedric Van Pran started 44 straight games. You have to be a special player to do that at the University of Georgia. And off the field, I don't know that Georgia's had a better leader in Kirby Smart's time at the program than Cedric Van Pran. He has, you know, obviously in terms of rallying guys around him, being a leader on the team, TGM captain, you get that. But also what he did for this defensive line in the wake of the tragedy of losing Devin Willock and how he got that group to come together and continue to honor Devin in that regard. I think this is going to be a guy who, you know, maybe he goes a little bit later than some of us thought, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if this is the guy that ends up playing the longest of anyone in this Georgia draft class. And I know it's unfair to compare him to this guy, but you look at what Jason Kelsey did for the Philadelphia Eagles. It wouldn't shock me in 15 years if we're seeing Cedric Van Pran have a similar impact on a city like Kelsey did with Philadelphia.
Just real quick, Carl and I were debating different scenarios where if we went like edge rush or even went defensive tackle, something maybe people aren't talking about. What do you think about Kamari Lassiter? Because he's certainly in the middle of the or late in the second round. Do you think Lassiter's game evolves, or is he going to be a backup, a nickel guy in the NFL?
I actually think he's a guy that has – maybe he didn't get asked to do this at Georgia because they like to play him on the outside. I think he could be a guy that plays in the nickel for you at the next level. I think his most impressive game at Georgia came against Missouri where they had him shadow Luther Burden around the field, and he played a good bit in that nickel slot corner position right there. So it's a guy who, you know, his stock has fallen a little bit because he didn't run great at Georgia's pro day there, and he didn't obviously run in Indianapolis, but he's got really strong short area quickness, 2-year starter for Georgia, played in every game in his time at the University of Georgia. And so I think through the Falcons, it wouldn't surprise me if he's the pick there at, I think, 43 in the second round. It also wouldn't surprise me if he slips to the beginning of the third round, and maybe you can possibly grab him at that point in the draft. His range is pretty wide, but I think this is a guy who, you know, athletic testing is what it is. From following him in his time at Georgia, this is a guy that is a competitor. This is a really strong Georgia draft class in the sense that, yes, it's maybe not as deep as it was in past years, but you look at so many of these guys coming out. These were the guys that formed the backbone of those back-to-back national championship teams. And I think that pedigree is going to transfer over into the NFL.
And I'll just keep it a corner real quick, just because these three guys all have something in common. They all played against Georgia, so you got to see them. Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry from Bama and Nate Wiggins from Clemson.
To me, the most interesting name there is Terrion Arnold. This is a guy Georgia recruited hard, really went after. And you know, Georgia didn't see him as a cornerback. They saw him as a safety. And then he goes to Alabama and has a really, really strong career. I know Kool-Aid McKinstry was the bigger name, the 5-star prospect. You go back and watch that 2021 national championship game against Alabama, and I know McKinstry at that time was only a freshman. Georgia went after him, and they felt really comfortable targeting him and going after him. And it's a long time ago, sure, but I think if you're targeting one of those three there, I would actually be okay. If you believe Arnold is good enough, taking him at 8 rather than maybe hoping that, say, one of McKinstry or Wiggins falls to the second round there.
It's going to be fun, not just the first round, but all weekend long to see what teams do and how many Dogs ultimately go and who in the SEC. I mean, like, I'm curious. A lot of these guys we've seen or talked about and where they end up. We'll be talking about it with you next week, Connor. Thanks so much. Tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of draft coverage coming up this week.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes you make decisions with your organization that set you back. Sometimes you make decisions that set you forward. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're going to trade Trae Young, I need to know what the vision is. I've heard a lot of stuff over the weekend in regards to who's available, who's not available. Mike and I played the sound bites on Friday for you about what Trae said. And when he said, yeah, I want to be here, but I want to win. There's nothing wrong with that. But, Mike, when you start talking about reports from guys like Mark Stein who say the Hawks are open to moving Trae, I think the Hawks are open to moving in everybody. There's nobody that is a sacred cow here where you can go, the team's been so good over the last 3 years, here's a guy we don't want to move away from. So, yes, we have young talent. Yes, there are guys that I would prefer to keep. But, Mike, let's specifically talk about this Trae thing because I know a lot of people are like, wait a minute, I want to make the team better, but I'm not willing to do that. Well, then you don't want to really make the team better.
Well, I mean, guys, it's 3 years in a row of the play-in game. You're going nowhere, okay? And look, it's you're going to get more for Trae, and you will lose some fans, and fans will get upset. And we hear it all the time. I'll never go, all right, well, okay, until the next big stud comes in here, you'll be back. But it is, in the short term, going to be tough because people say you don't trade Luka for Trae and then move on from Trae. You know, it looks duly asinine. You know, and that was on Schlenk, by the way. You can't blame the current regime for that one. You know, in hindsight, both Luka and Trae have polarizing personalities to some around the league. Both have achieved the same level, although Luka, as a big man, offers you different options that Trae just doesn't seem to be able to consistently. So, I don't know.
Are we sure that was Schlenk and not ownership?
I don't know. I don't know. I always felt it was Schlenk because of the Golden State connection. Just, you know, look, you can compare them to a degree. Neither one plays great defense, but, you know, you thought if you build it around him that you're going to have your version of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
That's what I always assumed it was, but Luka is a guy that had, I always thought had a higher upside.
No doubt. I mean, Mike, he's just bigger.
Right.
Like, he's a bigger dude.
You got to account for him
big
on both ends of the floor.
In the NBA, it's a reason why these tall, big dudes have success. All I'm going to say about that is a lot of that had to play with our community and what they thought was going to be the right fit for Atlanta.
Right.
And whether it's working now or not, what is the vision? Where are you going? For everybody that says, oh, well, let's just trade him. Okay, great. I'm all for it. Do you guys think you're getting 3 first-round picks back for Trae Young right now with the perception around the league that Mike is talking about?
Now, again, guys, I put this out there because I knew we were going to talk about this today. I'm not trying to trigger Trae. Guys, look, I get it. He's your guy, okay? I've moved on from idolatry when it comes to athleticism, and I know you want to see your favorite star flourish in this town. And any criticism is just whether it's warranted or not, you guys just go bananas over. Don't kill the messenger. This is one of those anonymous deals that The Athletic does every year. And I understand it. Yes, if you believe something, put your name behind it. Well, NBA guys might not like somebody, Carl. They may dap him up after the game, but they might think he's a jerk or they don't like him or whatever.
Fair.
Okay, that's. Do you have people in your office you're friendly to? Do you want to smoke? If you saw him in a dark alley, pow! Okay, yes, that's how the world works.
That's a punch in the face, by the way, not what you were imagining there. Go ahead.
But yeah, man, I just feel that you look at the numbers. A year ago, Trae, amongst the anonymous guys who responded, not everybody answers all the questions, was the most overrated player. This year, he comes in as the third most overrated player amongst the 80-some-odd guys who responded. 13.6, don't like Rudy Gobert. 8.6, don't like Jordan Poole. 7.4, don't like Trae Young. And then if you take it down a little bit further, you got other guys. Again, who's the league's most overrated? After Trae, it's Dylan Brooks, fake tough guy.
Yeah.
Then it's James Harden.
Okay.
Who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Bradley Beal. John Collins.
Mm.
Now, the guy that apparently, you know, aces Trae for the All-Star and other considerations like the Olympic team, Tyrese Halliburton is also considered overrated by his peers.
Yeah.
Then it's Julius Randle, Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Sabonis gets some. But again, we're talking like two or three votes here at the end. Guys, I don't know why Trae doesn't get all the love. I've heard stories. I can never, ever in a million years confirm the rumors and things I've heard. I wouldn't presume to. You know, not everybody laughs at the same jokes. It doesn't require that for success in the NBA, right? We've seen guys over the years say some things, if you read between the lines, which begins to wonder what goes on in that locker room. Regardless, if you move Trae, you better get a freaking lion's share and you better get it right. Because if you do, Carl, to your point, some fans will never come back.
So why do you think that we will? Mike, if I know you're desperate, I'm not giving you 3 first-round picks.
You got no leverage.
Do you think everybody around the league knows what's going on? Everybody does. So when you start saying, well, we'll just call such and such,
yeah,
they know. Well, we'll just call, they know. Mike, my job is to get the most for my team. It is not to give mm-hmm. you the most. So I'm just telling you, and this idea, like, we'll get more for Trae than we will for DeJounte. Right. And I've also heard this, right, that, you know, DeJounte, that as much as I think DJ is a really good player, and I do, has he proven to you that he can win in the playoffs? Has he proven to you that he can do big things in big games or big series? Even your dislike for Trae Young, you can't dismiss that. You can't. So I don't know about this building around DJ. If everybody wants to, you know, to be hunky-dory and feel good about themselves because it's a better atmosphere, so be it.
But if you're not winning, who gives a crap?
Who cares?
Right.
I want winners. I want to win chips. I want to compete for NBA championships. So when I hear that, I'm just saying to you guys who say, yeah, they should build around DJ. DJ still has to prove to us that he can win big-time playoff games and do certain things that I've already seen Trae do. With that, Mike, what's the vision?
Right.
Where are we going? Who are you trading for? What star are you bringing in here? You know what I watched over the weekend, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, damn it! I would die to have Ant-Man here.
Right.
Did you guys get a chance to watch him over the weekend? I would die. Anthony Edwards is a legitimate superstar right now, and he's only going to get better. Mike, personality, he's got it. Flair, he's got it. He plays D, all the things we're clamoring for. And I'm just saying, like, if you think you're going to go get a guy like that in a trade for Trae, Atlanta, it's not happening.
No. No, guys, you're going to get bits and pieces. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get Island of Misfit Toys. Okay? You're going to get a lot. And by the way, do we know that Quinn Snyder's going to coach these guys up?
I don't know.
You locked down. Quinn Snyder was going to fix everything. Quinn Snyder hasn't done jack.
Hmm.
Okay, yes, I understand the injuries, I understand, but there's still basic defensive, you know, sets you might want to call and look at. Some of the stuff that DeJounte brought up after the Bulls loss.
He doesn't play defense.
Well, guess what, Nate? Quinn don't call no defense. Okay?
You know, it still makes me laugh because it's true.
Well, we don't play deep. Like, the whole idea, and this is, can we all agree on one thing, which this one also escapes me? And this is not an indictment of Trae, it is what it is. He and DeJounte, why did you go get DeJounte Murray? Because the Heat double-teamed Trae and took away his effectiveness 2 years ago. So you thought, okay, we'll go get another point guard, as opposed to getting a real big that can score and truly be effective in pick and roll and kick out and a big man that could pass and set up other things. No, you went with a guy, okay, so Trey's going to move without the ball. Trey's going to lead the league in score. Never happened, okay? It doesn't work. So if you trade DJ, Carl, the leverage goes down another notch.
It does.
And you're never going to recoup the 3 first-round picks.
No,
you just got to eat it.
You're not getting that back anyway. Listen, if somebody gives us 3 first-round picks, they're idiots in the NBA. I'm telling you right now. If somebody does that, okay, I just feel like they are – that's a desperate general manager who's probably trying to save his job. I don't care about the picks. Understand, and this is the other part about this. For everybody, it's like, yeah, let's just do it. You don't win with rookies in this league.
No.
As good as Wimby was this year, where are the Spurs, guys?
Yeah. And now, again, they're going to get better, but that's one man. By the way, he's getting serious consideration for MVP.
Well, he should.
Because he's so good defensively. Right.
He's talented, but right. Mike –
He still needs help.
Yes.
You can give me all the picks you want. What are you doing with the picks?
Look, I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan on the planet, okay? Until you got more worker bees and you got the ultimate teammate in Scottie Pippen, you didn't win a title.
This is on Landry Fields and Kyle Korver in the front office. If you wanted pressure, you got it.
Yeah.
What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, you got the big one. But it happened on the last lap of Talladega, which provided a pretty amazing finish. Also, a Florida man and a McDonald's.
Figures.
That's a Monday. We got a Florida man story coming up next in Guy Talk.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's time for Shenanigans. Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play, hey man, we're going to be up at the Mercedes-Benz guys live on the radio. So catch us as you get the latest up-to-the-minute draft coverage. More coming up on Matt Ryan's retirement. He retired after a one-day contract. He said it was a team-friendly contract.
It made me laugh.
He was doing a great job today answering a bunch of questions. D-Led, hey guys! And there was former teammates who showed up at Flowery Branch as he did make it official. Hey man, a couple of things. I know you over the weekend, you ran into a Falcons fan. You were talking about there was a story you wanted to tell?
No, she was a Braves fan. Right. But the funny thing is, you know what, well, now that you said that.
You punched that out while I tell you my story. So down on the weekend, the wife's played in the ladies' golf tournament in Sea Island.
Yes. Oh, she was?
Yeah, she was down there. And so it's me and the dog. It's me and my wingman. So it's like finally it stopped raining on Sunday. I'm like, well, let's go down to Sonoy. So that's where they just filmed The Walking Dead, a lot of cool little bars and stuff. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to a really neat little bar we found called The Pearl and Pine, another microbrewery. We support microbreweries like our Oconee Brewing that makes
Georgia beer, baby.
But yeah, man, right next to Nick and Norman's, right there on Main Street in Sonoy, which is always a great little spot. People come down, whether they're fans of Walking Dead. Anyway, I wasn't sure if you could bring your dog in there. And there was a guy in there. And named Kyle, and it was kind of nice. He goes, he hears me speaking. I'm like, Ike, we can't go in there. And he goes, are you Mike Bell? Is that Ike? So they were sitting right there, right near the front door. We came in. Of course, Ike steals the show, and he's getting belly rubs, and he's like the doorman talking to people. But I give a shout out to Alex and his crew. As I then we sort of talk about the ratings, and I said, hey man, he goes, heard you guys are number one. I said, yeah, thanks to guys like you. But a really nice little spot. So I wish those guys well. Just another cool thing on the South Side, which is really popping.
Did he have a different couple of different brews there?
Yeah, a couple different flavors. They had everything you'd expect from like good local micro brew, like an IPA. Something that was kind of sweet. Something that was sour, tasty.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, man. We support, and Mike's right, we have our brew and we love Oconee, but we support all these the Georgia brew, should I say. No, I've told the story about Wendy Mary, who I met. Big fan of the show, big fan of the station. But Mike, I played with 3 Auburn guys this weekend, and their names, I want to give them shout outs because they just finished school 2 years ago. And these guys were talking about being at the game. A couple of years ago, I think when Auburn beat Alabama, and we got into this whole SEC discussion. But Bo, Stewart, Harrison, want to give those guys a big shout-out because they said they'd be listening today, Mike. They are new to Atlanta from the standpoint. They're just in the job market, job force. And I think 2 of them are like engineers, and 1 guy's a tech guy. But long story short, great guys to play with, and we had a great conversation about all this SEC stuff.
But Wendy was the Braves fan that I was mentioning, right, who was talking about not being able to watch the Braves on Apple.
Oh, yeah, that's
and she was disappointed about that. But she is she's a big fan of the show. So Wendy, thank you, and good seeing you this weekend.
Chris looked it up, by the way, right now until they flex more games, because the Braves will always obviously be in the mix for the division. But right now it's just two before the All-Star break, as far as we can tell. I know that Brandon Gaudin does, and the guys just do such a great job on Bally, and that's just like who you want to hear. Last night it was kind of cool to see Kirk Cousins. The only problem was it was the ESPN crew. So you got, I think the Braves are in a position now to continue. Yeah, and it was tough. I'm just not a fan of the ESPN broadcast. And again, not that it's bad. It's just the guys at Bally. I don't think people realize how good the local, and you're part of the, you know, the Bally work, the crew, how good the Bally crew is when you watch some of the local broadcasts around the country.
No doubt. By the way, ratings are up this year. I just want to let you know that.
Right on.
On those Bally broadcasts.
Doing your part.
But no, man, I'm with you on that. And I wish that they had all the games, unfortunately. You know, Major League Baseball has more control over that stuff. Right. So it's don't blame the Braves. That's not the Braves.
NASCAR got off to a great start. And then the ratings kind of flattened out a little bit because we've had some great finishes like in Atlanta. And then Talladega happened. Now, for those who aren't familiar with Talladega, they do put a limit on how the engines operate. So they try, I would let the cars go as fast as they can, just push the fans back further. That's what the late Dale Earnhardt said. But they don't do that. So they race in big packs, and usually there's a big wreck which takes out half the field. In this case, it was a great race with about 10, 15 laps, Carl, of just a lot of maneuvering. Everything seemed to be working. And then at the end, Michael McDowell, who was literally, picture you're on the interstate. There's a guy going, I'm going to be in the left lane. Now I'm going to be in the right lane. Now I'm in the left lane.
That sounds like you, Mike.
Shut up, Carl. But anyway, he was maintaining his lead over the cars, Mike. I'm not doing 194 miles an hour. It all was going well until cars started to pull out and make the moves, and then it sounded like this.
Off turn four for the final time.
Comes a run by Brad. There he goes to make his move. He's going to switch back over.
Oh, the block, and around goes the 34. And Reddick steals one.
That was almost exactly how Brad won this race, his first race. Huge wreck here, guys. Reddick.
Oh, my God. Great work, guys.
He's won before, but what made this one so cool, the branding on the car. It was the Jordan brand, and Michael Jordan was there to see his cars kicking butt for Toyota. Michael Jordan there in victory lane, and he was all over the broadcast. Yeah, you heard Brad Keselowski. He was the tough luck guy at the end as he took out McDowell's, the ultimate hard luck guy, but Reddick gets the win. If you didn't see it, it was actually perfect. I don't mind the big wreck, Carl. I just hate when a race takes 6 hours to finish because you got to pick up the parts from all the other wrecks. So that one actually kind of worked out just right. Now, what didn't work out just right is a McDonald's down in Zephyr Hills, Florida, which is over in Pasco County, north of Tampa Bay.
All right.
A deranged, he's described. Never good when an article starts.
Crazy and deranged?
When a man starts with deranged. A deranged McDonald's customer choked, punched, and pistol whipped and shot off the pinky of another McDonald's patron, Carl.
Did you say pistol whipped?
Pistol whipped.
I'm sorry. That always just fascinates me that somebody gets pistol whipped.
Much like Chris, you've seen the movie JFK when the assassination occurs, and you've got Jack Levin. He's the assistant, and Guy Bannister's private investigative office. You didn't see nothing. Pow! And he pistol whips him with a .45. Anyway, for those who don't know,
We should be laughing at somebody getting pistol whipped, but just the whole term always
just
makes
the way
me laugh.
It has him. You didn't see nothing. Pow! Anyway, it's an example. Aaron knows of what I speak. Anyway, getting back to the pistol whipping.
Yes.
Wesley Bullock, 48, was hit with aggravated battery and burglary after the wild fast food feud in Zephyr Hills. It happened according to WRBW.
I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here thinking, Mike. Pistol whipping is like, it's like, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm just going to hit you.
It's the equivalent. Now, again, I prefer to be pistol whipped than shot in the face.
Yes.
But pistol whipped is basically getting slapped with a gun, with the butt of a gun.
It is.
Which is generally very sturdy and very painful.
No doubt.
So he is hit with aggravated battery. Bullock was so ticked off. Why did all this begin? He didn't get his sauce with his nuggets.
Oh, come on, man.
He walked up to the drive-thru window at the restaurant, began screaming at an employee on Tuesday when the victim, see, this is why you never intervene. Nothing good is going to happen to the guy trying to break something up.
This is the guy that got pistol whipped?
The victim intervened, tried to calm the man down, according to eyewitnesses. That's when cops says he goes off on the guy, grabbing him by the throat, pow, slugging him, getting into a brawl, and then eventually pulls out the gat, pow, pow, hits him with that.
Wow.
As McDonald's employees are trying to break things up. He followed the victim to a nearby Speedway gas station where he got out of his car, and he went back to the guy, pow, and
come
pistol
on.
Yes.
He followed him and pistol whipped him again?
Yes, he got pistol whipped twice. Pow, pow. Don't take it to the Speedway, man.
Followed him to the gas station.
He follows him to the gas station, and then as and after he pistol whips, that's when he shoots the gun, and he misses. And then he hits him again with the gun, and eventually shoots this guy's pinky off.
Shoots his pinky off.
That's correct. He stated at the time he grabbed the pistol and fought Bullock for control over it, so the pinky was basically by the barrel, like blocking it.
Oh, gotcha.
So basically point blank.
That's very graphic.
Like John Wayne Bobbitt, they're not going to find the tip of the pinky and put it back on. It's basically going to be disintegrated. Anyway, Bullock allegedly got off one shot, struck the victim's pinky, as we said. Wounded victim managed to get the gun away from his attacker, threw it in his car, and he called the cops. Bullock was busted after surveillance cameras footage confirmed the wild account, and then the Pasco County Sheriff's found him at his address.
Whoa. He got the gun away from the guy.
He got the after without missing one of his digits.
Okay. And he didn't pistol whip this guy back?
No, he just threw the gun on the car.
Oh, now you're going to shoot me in my pinky.
Now, I will say this. We can bring this back to the Hawks conversation earlier. Trey did miss 6 weeks with a pinky. Here's a guy without a pinky, Carl, who was able to wrestle a gun away and then call the police.
No, listen, he's lucky. We're having fun. I'm glad nobody got killed, Mike, but what a crazy story.
Well, I mean, I just think when you see crazy, go the other way. I know one of the last days I lived in Midtown before we moved out to the country, they had put in that Dunkin' Donuts, which I was jonesing for one for years with the breakfast and all the coffee and the sandwiches. And one day, witnesses, I was one, described him as crazy.
Okay.
Comes in there, and there's people online. Goes, like, you mean I can't get service in here? And I had just paid for my order. And all the millennials just immediately wigged out. I mean, two of the millennials just ran out. And I sat there, and I said, well, you got to wait online, dude. We've all made our order. And then the manager's like, please, we don't want any trouble. I'm just telling the crazy guy he's going to wait. Okay. I get my sausage, egg, and cheese out of everything and my large coffee. And then crazy guy gets his.
We don't want any trouble.
That's when I came home to Becky and I said, I think it's really time we start looking for a house.
Oh,
anyway, there's your.
Oh, now you're going to shoot me in my pinky.
There's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale, watermelon lime, hitting stores next week.
It's from Harlem Nights, by the way.
Remember how they would all shoot? Remember how everybody would fire their machine guns, the Tommy guns, and then one guy, pow.
Don't shoot that little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You killed my brother.
Quick.
Pow. Hey, is your mom there? Tell her I'm never coming home.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. We got a lot more to dive into, Mike. No, it's just funny, man. I mean, seriously, if you get pistol whipped and you get the weapon away from a guy.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
That's impressive.
It is. Hey, coming up, what did Matt Ryan have to say today? We're going to let you hear that. Also, Christopher Price is going to join us. Believe Network NFL analyst. We're giving you more analysis of the NFL draft. We'll talk to him about a couple of different things. And Grant McCauley's set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, now you're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.